Besides, as I have loved you, so must you love one another. Besides this commandment of Jesus, no other teaching of Jesus is more definitive for Christianity than his teaching on forgiveness. Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant in today's gospel reading ends with, "So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." There are no ifs, there are no buts attached to it. It is simple, it is straightforward, it's uncompromising, it's unrelenting. And this makes Christianity challenging for the holiest of Christians. Last Sunday and today, the gospel reading focuses on difficult relationships. And you and I know relationships are difficult. Last Sunday, the focus was on correcting one another in the right way. And today the focus is on forgiving one another. So what shall we make of Jesus' demand, this uncompromising demand to forgive? What shall we make of it? In my 3 points, I would like to draw some very practical implications from today's readings. So first, I want to talk about forgiveness as an extension of the love command. In other words, I'm saying that the teaching on forgiveness is not a standalone commandment. It's an extension of Jesus' command to love one another. You see, when Jesus began his ministry upon the earth, he began it with the words, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, most of his followers associated the word kingdom with the extension of the political kingdom of Jesus, of the kingdom of Israel. But Jesus never claimed kingship over a certain territory. Jesus was never king of a certain place. Instead, the kingdom of God became a non-territorial reality based on certain values. So the kingdom of God has no boundaries, right? But it's based on certain values: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, self-control. These are the values of the kingdom. However, love is the virtue that holds all these other virtues together. Love is at the center of God's kingdom. And that is why Jesus insisted on love even of enemies. In reality, Jesus' teaching on forgiveness is an extension of the love command. In other words, the greatest obstacle to love, which is central to the kingdom of God, is unforgiveness. Hatred, the desire for revenge, retribution, the willingness to do harm, the unwillingness to let go of grudges, they hinder the progress of the kingdom of God, which is based on love. To the extent that individual Christians do not buy into Jesus' insistence on forgiveness, to that extent, the individual Christian becomes an obstacle to the progress of God's kingdom. So if I do not practice forgiveness, I am becoming an obstacle to God's kingdom taking more and more root in our world. So I guess today, as we hear this demand of Jesus on forgiveness, the question we ask ourselves is, am I progressing or am I hindering the growth of God's kingdom? That's the question. Secondly, I want to talk about forgiveness not just as a New Testament teaching. Folks, oftentimes the demand for forgiveness is proposed as a New Testament teaching that replaced the Old Testament eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Remember that. And Jesus said one time, you've heard that it was said of old, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, love your enemies. So we think of the demand for forgiveness as a New Testament teaching of Jesus. But this is a misconception. Passages like today's reading from Sirach are often overlooked. These sayings from Sirach, which we already heard, are worth reflecting upon this weekend. Sirach says, forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. This is Old Testament. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Again, could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? Again, if one who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Again, it tells us, think of the commandments, hate not your neighbor, remember the Most High's covenant, and overlook forms. You would almost think that this is Jesus talking, but it's actually from the book of Sirach. The most important thing to remember about these teachings on forgiveness in the scriptures, the most important thing to remember this weekend is simply this. What goes around, comes around. Forgiving others benefits us the most. After all, Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Who is the person in your life who is demanding your forgiveness? This week, simply pray for them. Begin by praying for the person who deserves your forgiveness. Pray for them, extend a blessing to them, if possible, forgive them, because what goes around comes around. And finally, I want to talk about forgiveness as an attitude. Why is forgiveness difficult? Forgiveness is difficult because injustice, betrayal, and injury deeply affect our dignity as human persons. This is why forgiveness is difficult. Because it really compromises our human dignity when people betray us or abuse us. History bears witness to the gross injustice that has been done to human beings. Fascism is real. 6 million people were killed. It causes real damage. Slavery was real, and the damage it did and it continues to do is real. Racism is real, and the damage that it does is real. It hurts the dignity of the human person. Abuse in its various forms, domestic abuse, child abuse, is real, and the damage that it does is real. So forgiveness is not an invitation to continue with the injustice that we might be experiencing. So for example, a married woman came to me one time and she was facing physical abuse at home, and she asked me, she said, "Father, how can I live out Jesus' teaching on forgiveness?" She said, "The abuse just doesn't stop. How am I supposed to forgive?" Folks, in situations like these, forgiveness is an attitude. And what I mean by that is simply this. It means that in order to forgive someone, the injustice done by the offending party must end. So if somebody keeps abusing me, and I keep forgiving over and over again without demanding that the injustice stops, then I'm not doing anybody any favors. So for me to forgive, the injustice needs to stop. And if it stops, then I have an attitude of putting the past behind and moving forward with forgiveness. This is the moment when the attitude of forgiveness can be transformed into an act of forgiveness. It may take time to get from attitude to act, but unwillingness to try to get beyond the injustice is detrimental to the victim. So think about, if you are, especially if you're having difficulty forgiving somebody who continues to hurt you, pray simply for an attitude to forgive when the injustice stops. So let me conclude with this. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift." We are reaching that moment in the celebration of the Eucharist where the gifts are about to be brought up. Before we bring the gifts up, perhaps we could bring our gifts with an attitude of forgiveness, so that at some point in our lives, our attitude can become an act of forgiveness, and we can then be open to God's forgiveness. Folks, the Eucharist is the greatest sacrament of love. The Eucharist invites us to love one another, and forgiveness is part of that kingdom of love. As we receive Jesus into our hearts today, sure, we ask God to give us the grace to forgive, but we also pray that our own sins may be forgiven by God. People of God said.